Now feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles, which, Lord, is an indwelling, Lord, of the Holy Spirit in the lives and hearts and the very soul of an individual. This is not just a festive good time, Lord, but as we come now to this Day of Atonement, we see that you even told us to afflict our soul all the way down to the very heart of man. You haven't required that before in the feast, but Lord, today, in this Day of Atonement, you have required it, Lord. And we want to see, Lord, you being our atonement or our ransom or our sacrifice. Lord, you're the ultimate sacrifice. You gave your life so that you could do away with sin and do away with all these heartaches and troubles that we have. Lord, we're dependent on you to come today and speak to the people. Be with the ones that are sick, the ones that are not here, the ones that are here. Lord, we pray that you'd be with us and lead us and guide us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Feast of the Lord. We'll talk about today the Day of Atonement. This will be number 6. It's kind of strange how number 6 comes into the Feast of Atonement, and it shows right after the Feast of Trumpets, and we'll see that maybe. I want you to be able to see, and we'll go back later on, which I think about last night. We're going to go through the plan of redemption, because the plan of redemption, the seals of the plan of redemption, if there's 7 seals, there's 7 trumpets, 7 vials. This is the Day of Atonement. This is number 6, where Israel is going to realize what they did. All right? And they're going to, in symbolic form, God told them to do these things. So let's read in Leviticus 23, verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month. Now we went from the first day of blowing of trumpets. Now we've come to the 7th month on the 10th day. So 10 days later, there shall be a Day of Atonement. It's one day. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls. How deep is that? You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is a Day of Atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whosoever soul it be that shall not be afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. And whatsoever soul it be that doeth any work on that same day, that soul will I destroy from among the people. Listen, on that day of atonement, Christ was put on the cross, it was one man. He did all the work. He's not required that you do any work. You just got to believe what he done. Ye shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be unto you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict your souls in the 9th day of the month at evening. Remember, it starts at 6 o'clock. From even to even, or evening to evening, shall you celebrate your Sabbath. You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. So now, this is a Day of Atonement. If you would pull the chart up, please, and we'll kind of put this in perspective and look at it real quick, and that way I'll show you exactly where we're at. Everybody have a good week. Amen. Amen. It's been a good week. It's been a trial, but it's been a good week. We made it to church. And it was there. Now it is. Okay. All right. So now, we are now on the Day of Atonement, which is right here, which is one of the fall feasts. We'll go back and talk about trumpets just a few minutes, because these two tie together. And this is your last one here. So we're going to take the trumpets, but this is one day, on the 10th day of Tishri, which is October, we're going to see that God told him one day, I want you to, go all, not just afflict your body. I want you to mourn. I want your soul to know what I did for you. Because what it's doing, it's looking back on the Day of Atonement. You're looking all the way back to when it began right here. Because without this Passover lamb being killed, you don't have anything to atone for. There's no atonement unless you've got the lamb that's killed. All right? Does everybody understand that? So that one day of atonement is an important day. It is one of the most holy days in all of Israel. All right? So now let's go to and back up. Now remember, the Feast of Trumpets was on the first day of that month of October. October the 1st, the 10th, and the 15th. Right in there, you got a lot of things going on. And it is our what? It is our fall harvest month. Most of our crops, even our crops, are harvested in October and November, somewhere in there. So it always coincides with that, with that even in our calendar. But remember, because it's going to be important in just a minute, this is the first month of the what? Religious calendar. This is the first month of the Jewish religious calendar, and it goes 12 months. Now, the civil calendar, or the calendar that the Jews day by day go by, their daily calendar, like our daily calendar, starts in October. All right? So that's their civil calendar, goes from here to here. All right? Their religious calendar goes from here all the way around to here. And it shows these feast days. Why? Because the feast days need to be lined up. You can't have the spring feast start over here. Amen? And obviously you can't have the fall feast starting over here. So God set it up. But now remember, man said October the 1st, God told Moses, we've read it many times, that this is the first month for you. When they were coming out of Egypt, when they were there in the book of Exodus, God said, this is the first month. This is the first day of the month. This is what's going to happen. Then on the 14th of that same month, we're going to have a Passover. All right. Everybody got that? Say amen. All right. So we've been through this. So Passover is what? They killed a lamb and they were leaving Egypt, a type of you and I leaving the world and starting our journey. All right. Now what we're going to do is we're going to, I want you to just kind of put this in the back of your mind that this all coincides with your new birth. Okay? How many, you got how many stages? You got justification, sanctification, what's unleavened bread? Cleaning the leaven out of your house. Sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, you connect these two together. The word comes, the trumpet blows, you come to the message of the hour. If you're born again today and you hear the message of the hour, you gotta come. Now this is not the Holy Ghost. Okay? The message is not the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost you can get and receive by listening to the word of God or repenting of your sins and asking God to forgive you, and you go through sanctification, and then you go through the baptism, then you come to church and God quickens something in your heart, or he brings a minister to say one little thing, then you get the new birth. But when you get the new birth, it's going to turn you then. You're going to hear a what? A gospel trumpet. You're going to hear the last trumpet. You're going to hear the last trump, because this is the last trump. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Then you're going to realize, to me, that day of atonement, it makes me realize that's now in me. And then the tabernacles is when we're going to leave. All right, everybody got that? That's the change of the body for us. And it will be the change of the body for the Jews and when they go in their rapture. All right? All right? So don't fall asleep. We'll be all right. So let's go to the trumpets, because we still didn't get finished with the trumpets the other day. Let's go to Leviticus 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now let's go to Isaiah 58, 1, because remember, the Bible speaks of trumpets being a voice, being that there may be a natural trumpet sound, as we were talking last Sunday. Last Sunday, that there's a natural trumpet sounds, but there's a voice behind that. Right. I mean, there's something that even tells you to retreat, to move left, to move right, all the different sounds of a trumpet. But we know that the trumpet that's sounding now is not a toot, toot, to-do, to-do trumpet. It's a trumpet that is voiced out because watch, cry loud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show thy people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. That's where that I received my commission, I believe, to minister the gospel was right there in that one scripture. And because that's what you're doing. We all have, it's a trumpet, but listen, we're all trumpeteers, but we can't be blowing C note over here and D note over here and F this and E flat and all these different things. You got to be in the same mode of music. You got to be able we hear Luther's trumpet. But now Luther's trumpet is not my trumpet to take me up.
Right.
Amen. Wesley's trumpet is a trumpet. And there is a group of people heard that trumpet. They rejoiced under that trumpet. And they went up under that, or they're going up under that trumpet. Now they're all in the grave now, but they're going up under that trumpet of Martin Luther, John Wesley, Pentecost, and now the message of the hour is the last trump. It's the last trumpet. It's the last thing you're going to hear, but now it's not the last thing that Israel's going to hear because those trumpets are going to Israel to not sound a different sound. All right? Everybody okay with that? All right, let's go to Ezekiel 33, and that's what we were looking at Sunday. Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, that's what we're talking about, ministers. We're talking about fivefold ministry. We're talking about, now you remember, it's not an actual watchman in a tower. It's somebody that watches after. Hebrews 13 tells us it's somebody to watch after your soul. Okay? We're preaching to souls today, not preaching to bodies. That's happened a lot of times. They beat you to death and make you do this and make you do that and make you not, sisters not cut your hair and your men not do's and don'ts. But if you ever get that soul born again, now don't say there won't be no worries. There will be worries and there'll be troubles and trials, but you won't fight what the Bible says. You won't fight it when it says not to do this and don't do that. All right. So the watchman is set to do what? When he seeth, or understandeth the sword come upon the land, or the word, he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Brother Dale's responsible for your soul. But if you don't do anything about that, it's your problem at the day of judgment. It's your problem at the... If you don't, you understand, we can just make a long list. It's your problem. But now remember though, if you have a watchman that's not right, all right, whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, take not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and he took not warning. His blood shall be upon him, but he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. In other words, it won't be on the pastor. Right. It'll be on you. But if the watchman see the sword or the false word coming or the enemy coming and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, that's why we're still here.
Right.
50, 60 years after the prophet. We have not been warned by a proper trumpet. And I'm not saying there's not one, this is not a one man job. You understand what I mean? Brother Branham was one man. We, God filtered through him. He was a trumpet and we heard what he said, but now there are many trumpets, but they got to be sounding the same music. Amen. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, oh, it's all right. You can do what you want to. If the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his own iniquity. Iniquity is what? Knowing to do right or not doing it. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So it will be, that's why there'll be many people. We read the scripture where the Bible tells us that many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have I not cast out devils? Have I not spoken tongues? Have I not done these great mighty things? And you know what God's going to tell him? He's going to say, look, you were the wrong trumpet. you were sounding your own message, or you were sounding this and that and the other, and you were not proclaiming my message. And we see them now, they just leave the message. They don't proclaim a wrong trumpet. They just leave them. They're, people are throwing the trumpet down. Well, they never had the right trumpet to start with. They never had the right trumpet to start with. If they had the right trumpet, this trumpet takes us to the body change. This trumpet we're sounding today in the message of the hour around the world will take us to a body change. It will not take us to false doctrine. Amen. So in the Feast of the Trumpets, it was a blowing of trumpets. But now remember, don't get it wrong with the seven trumpets of Revelation 8, because they will sound with seven different angels sounding trumpets. That's not to us. Don't worry about that. We're not going to be here. Remember, Brother Branham was going to preach the Feast of the Trumpets. He or the seven trumpets, seven vials, seven plagues. And then God told him, said, you preached them supernaturally, what, in the sixth seal. Which, what is the sixth seal? Two prophets going to Israel, taking them the message, and then the plagues falling on the earth, but we're gone.
Right, right.
We're not here. That's why Brother Brown said they're not to us. The trumpets of Revelation 7, but now this Feast of the Trumpets is to us. That Feast of the Trumpets, that you got to hear that trumpet sound every day. And you've got to determine by your filter whether it's right or wrong. Whether it's the right sound or the wrong sound. All right, let's read here. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sound, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? In other words, how do you know that what I'm saying today is right? How do you know that what Brother Branham said was right? How do you know that? Because that trumpet gives a certain sound and a certain tone or a certain ring, and it what? It rings inside of you. As we were talking before, last Sunday, you be sitting in a congregation and this preacher gets up and he's preaching all these false doctrine and all these people are shouting and praising the Lord and you're just sitting there. Why? There's something about that sound you're hearing that's not right.
That's right.
Amen? We've all been there.
Amen.
If not, get ready.
That's right.
You will experience it somewhere in your life. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Now the whole deal with the watchman here, the whole deal with that watchman, he don't just go up there and blow through a horn. He's trained. He's trained to give you the note, give you the sound. The sound of retreat is a certain cadence. The sound of charge is a certain cadence. But you know what? You gotta learn that before that happens. You don't learn that on the day of battle. Brother Donnie was in the military. Some of you were in the military. You didn't learn. Now, that was a lot of things you learned on the fly, that's for sure. But if you were out there in the heat of battle, they trained you before. I love what Brother Harris said. Brother Harris said, that drill instructor, I hated his guts. And he said, I so hated the man. He said, I wanted to survive Vietnam and come back and kill him. He said, the drill instructor said, that's exactly what I want you to do. Survive. And if you want to come back and kill me, it'd be me and you. But he made him survive out there with a will to live, to get back home. And that's what's happening with all of us. Amen. With all this going on, with all these uncertain sounds going off, there is a true sound, folks. This is not something that God was caught off guard. He knew this was going to happen. He allowed this to happen. I always go back to Job. Here's Job living the life of a king on earth. Everybody loved Job. Job was a great man. God said, hey, devil, you ever considered that guy over there? He said, well, now, God, you've got some prayer cloths over the doors. And all Job's cars, or donkeys, whatever it was then. It wasn't cars, was it? You've got a hedge around him. You've got all these. He said, okay, I'll take them away. I'll take them away. He trusted Job.
Right.
so much till he lifted it up just a little bit so that the devil could get in. But you know what it done? It gave glory to God, not the devil. Because the devil lost that battle. There's no doubt the devil lost that one. Amen? Because what did Job do? He got restored double what he had before. Seven children in glory and seven children on earth. 15,000 or whatever it was of cattle that he had only 7,000 or 8,000. He had double that. So in the end, Job was more blessed than he was in the beginning. But now while we're going through this and while Job was going through this, Job probably in his humanity thought, man, this can't get no worse than this. And that's why he said, then Job pops up and he says, oh, that I was never born. That I died before I took one breath from all this coming on me. But you know what? Elihu comes on the scene and he just tells Job, stand up. Get off your heap. Stand up. And I'm going to tell you what God's going to do for you. And Job says, I know my Redeemer liveth. And you know, also, Job says in Job 30-something, I think it is, Job says, I found a ransom. Well, you know what ransom means? Atonement. We're fixing to talk about that. Ransom means, in other words, Job had found an atonement for what he had done and the things in his life. So, okay, we'll get to that. I got a little ahead of you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. Now, we've heard that. That is a gospel trumpet that we are hearing now. We're not going to go out in the grave and get horns and go toot, 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 toot. No, there's going to be a sound. I was thinking about this. There's going to be a sound that sixth dimension has never heard in this dimension before. Something's going to sound and say, hey, death has been destroyed in a group of people. Amen. Don't be afraid to come over here.
Right. Come on.
Oh, come on, people. That's as true as God's one. That'll happen. We're looking at it right here. We're not looking for, well, we're going to bank on Brother Branham's trumpet being part of. No, it was the last trumpet. And the trumpet at the last trump, Brother Branham brought us the trump, the shout, the voice, we'll see that in a minute. For the trumpet shall sound. Where's it sounding? In the people. Columbus' trumpet sounded in the people. Luther's trumpet sounded in the people. The prophet's message is sounding. He said, rapturing faith lies in these books and tapes. We just got to get all the uncertain sounds out of the way. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up. I like that. Death is swallowed up in victory. Because we caught the last trumpet's message. And we not only just heard it, we became it. That's our whole deal. We've got to become that. Because watch this, Revelation 4 verse 1. Now we know Revelations 1, John was standing, he heard the voice of the trumpet, and when he turned, what did he see? He saw the bride in the church ages. One like the Son of Man with his hands out like this, with the church ages, which is what? In bride form, girt about the paps. Now, here's another trumpet, not a different one, but this one that makes a sound for us to leave the place. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice I heard, as it were, of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you these things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. So John was caught up in a voice like a trumpet, which was no other trumpet than the one you're hearing now.
Sure,
The one that we're hearing now, that we've come in under this last trump. For the trumpet shall sound. Time shall be no more for me and you. But now remember, we were reading the commentary now just for a second. And you don't have the one for the Feast of the Trumpets. Because I want you to remember something. There is a trumpet that is connected to the Day of Atonement. So just hang on just a minute. But the Feast of the Trumpets begins 10 days of consecration. Can you pull the chart back up, please? Begins 10 days of consecration and repentance before God. So when that trumpet blows, it's not just that, well, we're done. No, there's 10 days that goes by that they're blowing that trumpet. And there's 10 days, because you know that on that 10th day, listen, God required on that 10th day a day of atonement, not only to reflect, but you couldn't eat, you had to fast. You couldn't do no work. You couldn't even go into your wife. No relations. That whole day. That day was an affliction of your soul that you were going to reflect on what God had done for you. And we'll read that in just a minute. But on the Feast of the Trumpets, see, so we've come through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. We've got into the Word. And what are we hearing now? A trumpet. A trumpet has sounded, and you and I have going, we are heading toward the Day of Atonement. Just like Israel, we're going to see that too. We are in type. They are in reality. Even one of the commentators says that Israel now does not like the Day of Atonement. See, they have no sacrifice to make. So it's just a day that they can't do anything. And even nominal Jews are not supposed to do anything. And they don't like that. Why? Well, they're not born again. They don't know God. They think their God's coming. Right. All right? They think they've got to go way back over here. That's why that when the two witnesses go to Israel and they sound their trumpet, it's going to bring them to the Day of Atonement. And we'll read it in just a few minutes. Then they're going to take a tabernacle change, and you and I are taking a tabernacle change. To me, I think now, I was thinking the other day, what greater time to be under the Day of Atonement? I know we're feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles. We're feasting. But what about a Day of Atonement where we have all this sickness and we have all this trouble going on in the just in our ranks? Why not have a solemn day? Why not have a solemn fast? Don't declare it, remember, don't, like Brother Brown, don't declare, oh, I'm going fast for the, no. Just silently, one day. Take you a day, doesn't matter what day it is, but afflict your soul. Because my soul, sure, my body hurts, I'm getting older, but my soul grieves for the people that are in the hospital, for the people that are in this message that have tried their best to serve God. We've tried to gather back together. It's done. People's having weddings and people's having meetings. And this thing has come back among them. And you're wondering, what in the world? But I always go back to the thing with the prayer cloth. We were protected. And then all of a sudden God says, all right, devil, let's see how they'll react. You see how they'll react, because I know how they're going to react, because I know the end of the story. Amen. The devil does not know the end of the story. That's why he keeps fighting. But on this Feast of Trumpets, it's the beginning of 10 days of consecration and repentance before God. Now, when is it, though? It's at the harvest time. We're not supposed to be getting more lax, folks. We're supposed to be getting more sincere. Right. We're supposed to be heading towards something that, I'm telling you, when Brother Branham said cancer would be a toothache compared to what's coming, it's here. It's here. Cancer's bad, but they've had a lot of progress in cancer. But if this thing ever gets you and it doubles on top of something, you're in trouble. A pre-existing condition, you understand what I'm saying? But listen, this means a shout or a blowing. It commemorates the end of the agriculture and festival year. So now we're coming to the autumn of our year. We're getting ready to be harvested. Jesus said, hang on, don't harvest right now. Wait till they mature in the harvest season, and then you'll know the difference between the wheat and the tares. Because really, when you first start your garden, I was thinking yesterday when I was up here pulling up corn in the garden, you start out and truly weeds look the same as plants when they begin. Because you don't know which one to cut down. And I've inadvertently cut a few plants down, hoeing my garden. But if you let them get on up a little higher, let them mature a little more, you'll start seeing the difference between a weed and a wheat, or the weed and a piece of corn. Also yesterday, you talk about multiplication. Just getting off of this for a minute, but we got close to 800 ears of corn off of our garden, and believe me, I know there's that many. We counted them. But I was up there, and it's probably, twice the size of this room, maybe, just where the corn was at. And I pulled them stalks up the other day, and I pulled all of them up last night, yesterday, day before. Them big old stalks, I'd already took the ears off of it, and there's piles this high of corn stalks. I'm making a point here. You know what that came from? All those 800 ears of corn we put up, give away, sold, and done everything else with. We've got all that food in our freezer and our refrigerator. We've got all these stalks that the cows are going to enjoy once we give them to the cows. There's about three piles this high and one pile this high. What's my point? Every bit of that, all of that came from one seed. And let's just put it more like this. All that poundage, hundreds of pounds, I bought in a bag of seeds to plant the whole garden about this big. So see, spiritual multiplication is the same identical way. God can take nothing. He can take one seed. He was what? He was the first fruit, the first seed to come to maturity, which meant there was more of us coming. That you and I come to maturity because of that one seed. Because remember, that one seed is who? Christ. And then you and I, if we have Christ inside of us, we're that one seed. And think of Brother Danny, if we took all them 800 ears and let them dry out, how many hundreds of thousands of seed we would have off of that one little bag of seed. So see, spiritual multiplication is the same way. You've got to hear the trumpet. You've got to get under the sun, S-O-N. You got to get the rain, former and latter rain. So that's what we're coming to. We're not coming. Now look, some are here. Some have just received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They're that 11th hour worker that's going to get paid just as much as the ones that started all the way back here a long time ago. Amen? Thank God for that. Thank God for that parable that people are not left behind. I don't know why in the world you would make a Christian movie called Left Behind. Think about that one. We don't leave nobody behind. God's not going to leave him. We're not going to take a rapture and God's going to go, missed one. No, he's going to take everyone. But it's up to you to get ready. And we're going through these feasts. Listen, folks, we are in the evening time. We are in the harvest, the evening time. We've been through all this, and some are coming through this, but you're going to come through it fast. We've heard the trumpet. We're coming to the Day of Atonement. And now we're feasting under the Feast of Tabernacles, which is God tabernacled in human flesh. The commentator says here there was an alarm of sorts and can be understood as a call to introspect and repentance. In the New Testament, we see the Lord's second coming will be accompanied by the sound of a trumpet. Now, most of the world thinks it's going to be the sound of a trumpet. No. The gospel trumpet you're hearing now, this is the only sound this world is going to get unless there's two witnesses, going over to two witnesses. This is it. There's no other sound, and thank God for the different ones, you got Hagees and all the different ones out there that are trying their best to preach the gospel, but they do not have this last gospel trumpet. You and I are the recipients and the hearers of this last gospel trumpet. All right? Amen. I'll clap myself too because thank God. Because you take a tape and you take a tape to some of your buddies and you let them listen to Brother Branham and what happens to us when we press play, which is okay to press play. But what happens, we turn our attention to that. We know that sound. We know that voice. But more than that, Brother Kern, we know what's behind that voice. Amen. It's the voice of God.
Amen.
Now the Hagees, and I'm saying it, but John Hagee, they do the best they can. They're trying their best. But they are not the last trumpet. They're not one of the seven stars. They're not one of the seven spirits. They're just not that. Now they could be anything else. A Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. They had a trumpet. They went down to Sodom and declared, Brother Brown said, they blinded those Sodomites. That's their trumpet. But now I can't feed off Oral Roberts' trumpet. We can pick things out of it, yeah. We can pick things out of Billy Graham. But that's not our trumpet, folks. But now listen, this is what I'm leading up to, because when we realize that God, as Brother Dale's talking about, being we've chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Our names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Because of God's foreknowledge, knowing you would hear that trumpet sound and you would respond different than your neighbor.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the Lord.
Amen.
Because see, they may hear the Hagees and the different ones and gravitate to it. Copeland's and all the big name guys. And they may, well now, I don't. I don't search out to listen to these folks. Now they do good for the people that hear them. Now don't get me wrong. Okay? But, because there's a lot of foolish virgin out there. There's a lot of people that's going to come up so high and not go any further. But remember, they're not part of this harvest. They are not, you are the only ones that's a part of this harvest right here. And see, when I do that, it doesn't make me feel so high and mighty. It puts me right here. Then I mourn for those that can't hear it. And I mourn because God, you chose me. You know I would hear that sound and the way I would respond. You've done all this for me. See, that puts me, that afflicts my soul. That goes all the way down deep. When you know that how many times, Brother Zach, how many times, listen, just walk through the world. They hear no sound except politics, talking heads, this talk show, that talk show. All their rapper stars and all their movie stars. You see what Satan has just, he's expanded his kingdom and he's given you so much noise. Noise. And that's what he's done. God has given us the trumpet for us to respond to. Satan has given a trumpet to the world in whatever it is, rap, rock and country and all these different, he's just throwing it out there. But let me tell you something, folks. You be in a crowd of people. You let Danny Fountain get separated from Ellie in a crowd. And they might be screaming. They might be shouting. They might be, cursing and yakking and talking and screaming. But you let Ellie say, what she call you? Granddad. Granddad! What? He don't hear no other noise. Right? I can tell Deanna's voice from anybody. Don't even have to look. Same way with God. All this noise, Brother Zach, was going on. This whole world, there was noise going on. And all of a sudden, you decided to say, Father, I need some help. I don't believe God had ever heard any other voice. There was no other voice he heard but Zach Black's voice. Now, what about a God that created the universe, Brother Boyd, created this, everything, and all of a sudden he goes, what do you need? What do you need? To me, that's the atonement. What do you need? I'm here for you. And you go, God, what's the first thing you say? I'm not worthy.
That's right.
Huh? Amen?
That's right.
God, I'm not worthy to be counted among. God, I'm not worthy because my sin has piled up and piled up and piled up. But God says, I hear your voice. You've heard my trumpet. And not only has he saved your soul, he's brought you to an end time message. He's brought you to the very last trump that only will bring a resurrection. Only! The others will not bring a resurrection. This will only bring a resurrection. Oh, what a day of atonement. Where you just, and yeah, we ought to be happy, but you ought to be inside you. You ought to think, God, why me? And I'll promise you, he'll tell you why. He'll tell you why. Because John knew that voice of Jesus, and when he said it sounded like the sound of a trumpet. He said, when I turned and looked, I didn't see Jesus. I saw Jesus in bride form. So the bride was connected to him. So you and I are connected. Listen, we're the body. We're the body. He's the head. We're the body, right? The whole Bible tells us we're the body of Christ. So he has no body without me and you.
That's right.
Oh, what a day of atonement. But let's get into the day of atonement real quick. Leviticus 23:26. I want you to think about these trumpets. Now, hold on just a second. For 10 days, they're going to sound for 10 days working up to this one day where everything's silent. Silence in heaven.
Amen. That's right.
Silence. The day of atonement. No work. You can't even cook. Can't go anywhere with your family. Nothing. One day. To reflect on what God's done for you. Day of Atonement, Leviticus 23:26. Let's read it. Excuse me. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of the 7th month. Now remember, that's the 10th day. There shall be a day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made of fire unto the Lord. And you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. All right, now we're going to read what's going on, but let's look at the Hebrew lexicon and see what this word atonement means. To cover. To purge. Make reconciliation. The Bible tells us. Oh, let me tell you something about atonement. It's mentioned 70 times in the Bible. 69 of them's in the Old Testament. There's only one time in the book of Romans the Bible talks about why. You don't need a day of atonement. Once Christ died, you don't need that day anymore. There was a day of atonement, but you don't need that day every year. Remember in Romans 8, it says the sacrifice being made every year would make the comer thereunto perfect. You don't need a sacrifice again if it makes you perfect, but it only covered. But then Paul talks about a ministry of reconciliation to reconcile us back to Christ, to cover over with pitch. You can ask Noah about that. What carried Noah over was what he pitched. To cover over, pacify, propitiate, to cover over, atone for sin, make atonement for. So something has got, when you come to the day of atonement, atonement means that we're going to cover over. Now remember, that was in the Old Testament. It covered your sin. Right? That blood of that animal and the blood of that goat, whatever it was, it, at the time, it atoned for your sin. You were covered. But your sin was still there. But now when Christ come, takes it completely away. Alright? To cover over, atone for sin. And like I said before, the other definition is ransom. See, because remember Brother Brown said you got yourself put in a pawn shop. Now to get something out of a pawn shop, what happens? You gotta pay a ransom. Or you gotta pay a fee. But it's a ransom because what it does, it redeems what was taken to the pawn shop. So that's what God does. He went in and paid your ransom. He made an atonement for you. He didn't just cover over, he atoned. In other words, he took your place. Because what we're going to see is in just a minute what happens on the Day of Atonement. All right? So let's read now. This is kind of what we've been staying with, questions in the Bible or gotquestions.com. And it seems to me to be really close to what the, what we want you to see. So watch this right here. I'll get out here when I read it. The Day of Atonement, Leviticus 23, is also known as Yom Kippur. Now, Yom means day, and Kippur means like first of the year. So this would be, like I said before, this is the first of the year for their civil calendar. You got to remember that because I'm going to read you something in a minute that's going to help you with Leviticus 25:8. All right, 7 sevens, 49 years. Was the most solemn holy day of all the Israelites' feasts and festivals, occurring once a year on the 10th day of Tishri, the 7th month of the Hebrew calendar, which is October for us. On that day, the high priest was to perform elaborate rituals to atone for the sins of the people. Now, what happens is as we read this, Aaron, when he goes in daily or weekly and does the sacrifices, he's got on the ephod, he's got on the colorful things. When he goes in on the Day of Atonement, it's pretty much all white clothing. He's just plain. Okay? He's approaching God because he's instead of God, and really he was. He went for the people, but now he's going in not just to make an atonement for Israel, he's going to make an atonement for himself and make an atonement for even the holy place or the altar. Watch. The most solemn holy day. On that day, the high priest was to perform elaborate rituals to atone for the sins of the people, described in Leviticus 16. If you want to read that, save time. The atonement ritual began with Aaron, our subsequent high priest of Israel, coming into the Holy of Holies. The solemnity of the day was underscored by God telling Moses to warn Aaron to not to come into the most holy place whenever he felt like it. See, now I'm talking about the Old Testament now. And that's not us. Right. You and I now are to come boldly because the thing has, the curtain's been pulled back. Right. But it had to begin somewhere in type. Right. All right? The solemnity of the day was underscored by God telling Moses to warn Aaron not to come in the most holy place whenever he felt like it. He could only come on this special day once a year lest he die. This was not a ceremony to be taken lightly, and the people were to understand that atonement for sin was to be done God's way. Before entering the tabernacle, Aaron was to bathe and put on special garments, then sacrifice a bull for the sin offering for himself and his family first. All right? Me and my household. The blood of bull was to be sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. Then Aaron was to bring two goats. Now here we come. We're going to read what Brother Brown says about this, but there's two goats. One's a goat that's sacrificed, and one's called a what? Scapegoat. All right? The other goat was used as a scapegoat, but whatever, its blood was sprinkled on the Ark of the Covenant. The other goat was used as a scapegoat. Aaron placed his hands on his head, confessed over it the rebellion and wickedness of the Israelites. What about all that? Aaron was transferring that to the animal. as a covering, though, not to do away from, because you know what he's going to do? Next year, he's got to go back in and do the same thing.
That's right.
All right? But Christ does not have to get back on the cross.
Amen.
He's done. He's finished.
Right.
He doesn't have to do that. We've just got to look in our Day of Atonement and look back and see what he's done for us.
Right.
Aaron placed his hands on the head, confessed over it the rebellion and wickedness of the Israelites, and sent the goat out with an appointed man, who released it into the wilderness. The goat carried on itself all the sins of the people, which were forgiven for another year. The symbolic significance of the ritual, particularly to Christians, is seen first in the washing and cleansing of the high priest, the man who released the goat, and the man who took the sacrifice animals outside the camp to burn the carcass. Because remember, Jesus was crucified where? Outside the camp. All right. Israelite washing ceremonies were required often throughout the Old Testament, and symbolize the need for mankind to be cleansed of sin. Just like you and I, we have sins, we have daily sins as Christians. We ask God to wash us, not by natural water, but by spiritual water, washing of the water of the Word. But it wasn't until Jesus came to make the once-for-all sacrifice that the need for cleansing ceremonies ceased. The blood of bulls and goats could only atone for sins if the ritual was continually done year after year. While Christ's sacrifice was sufficient for all the sins of all who would ever believe in him, when his sacrifice was made, he declared, "It is finished." Amen. He sat down on the right hand of God, and no further sacrifice was ever needed. The sufficiency and completeness of the sacrifice of Christ is also seen in the two goats. The blood of the first goat was sprinkled on the ark, ritually appeasing the wrath of God for another year. Now, what did the second goat do? They had to have a second goat because Christ died and took away all the sins of the world, right? But there has to be a daily atonement still, even us. Remember, Brother Ram says the world is covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and God can hear us through the blood, even as Christians, right? The second goat removed the sins of the people into the wilderness where they were forgotten. That person, whoever led that goat into the wilderness, had to take it so far away that he couldn't make his way back. What a job. The second goat removed the sins of the people into the wilderness where they were forgotten and no longer clung to the people. Sin is both, you know, what about an Israelite in that day? You had no way to clean yourself. You could wash in water, tons of water. If you were an adulterer, you were still an adulterer. You could wash yourself in holy water, whatever you want to do. But me as a person, as a devout Israelite, I'm standing there at the door of the temple when that guy leads the goat out with the blood all over him. And as he's leading him out, if I'm a devout Christian or Israelite of the day, what a day of atonement. Knowing that my sin, whatever it was, in symbolics. Now, this is just in symbolics. What about now with the blood of Jesus Christ taking away and eradicating sin? But I'm standing there. You know, talk about a joyous time.
Amen.
Because I'm believing my high priest has done his job inside that Holy of Holies. And that blood that's on that goat, there had to be a goat die to put that blood on that goat. And then that man, and you just keep seeing till he disappears over the horizon. There goes my sin. I don't have to deal with that sin no more. But what about God though? Because there could be a chance that goat might find his way back into the congregation. But not with Jesus Christ. He said, as far as the east is to west, there is no pole from east to west. As far as the east is from west, he said, I'm not just covered your sin. Out there in the horizon, there's a sea. There's a sea of forgetfulness. That thing will never, in no way will it ever be brought up against you again. What that man did for us. But look at the symbolics that we can see. Now the Israelites depended on this. You and I don't depend on this written word. We depend on what Christ has already done for us. And we don't have to go through this ritual once a year. We don't have to. What if we just had church service once a year? That's kind of what they did. They had this big thing one time a year, and the priest would go behind the veil, and he would do all the things. He would come out, and he said, your sins are forgiven. Well, man, they just went off, and, you know, the whole year they did something else, went through these rituals. That's why God finally said, there is stink in my nostril, your holy days. You've all just made it a bunch of feasts. You've made it just something to, you have to do, not something you want to do. He said, but I'm coming. I'm coming. I'll write all this, and I'll make, this will be a type, but everything you're doing, I'm going to take it all away. Sin is both perpetuated and expedited God's way only by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Perpetuation is the act of appeasing the wrath of God, while expiation is the act of atoning for sin, removing it from the sinner. Both together are achieved eternally by Christ. When he sacrificed himself on the cross, he appeased God's wrath against sin, taking that wrath upon himself. What? That scapegoat. He put that sin on top of him. Now, there's many people, if you'll read some of the commentaries, they talk about that second goat being the devil. There's no way that I put that he's going to do away with my sin. No. But have Christ be that second goat that goes off and puts it in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be. When he sacrificed himself on the cross, he appeased God's wrath against sin, taking that wrath upon himself. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Romans 5:9. The removal of sin by the second goat was a living parable of the promise that God would remove our transgressions from us as far as the east is from west, that he would remember them no more. And Jews still today celebrate the Day of Atonement, which falls on different days each year, September and October, traditionally observing this holy day. They have they take a 25-hour period. They take a 24-hour day and add an extra hour just to make sure. Intense prayer. Jews also often spend most of the day in synagogue services. Now let's go to Leviticus 25:8, real quick. 11:30. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Now, we've been over this time and time again. This connects in with Daniel 70 weeks. And it connects in with the year of Jubilee. Listen, the year of Jubilee has never been established in Israel. But this is what they were supposed to do. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is the Day of Atonement. There's supposed to be a trumpet blow in the Day of Atonement, and shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. They just didn't do that. They didn't have a 50th year. What was happening is on that 49th year, on the 10th day of the 7th month, which is the beginning of their year, civil year, this is the Jubilee year, you're going free. They never did that, because that Jubilee trumpet sound, everything went free. All debt was cleared, everything went back to zero. And as I've told you many times before, even in many commentators, they'll tell you that it was never, ever, ever, the year of Jubilee was never established in Israel, because a Jew ain't going to give his money up. And if you owe a Jew $50, I don't care if it's 49 years, you're going to pay him that $50. I'm talking about natural. But spiritually, see, the Jubilee has sounded for us. We're not in a 49 anymore, because a 49 is 7 sevens. 7 sevens, that's time. You and I are in the Jubilee year. We've heard that trumpet sound on the Day of Atonement, and make it sound throughout what? All your land. Listen, I'm proclaiming today I'm free. When you got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you became the freest person on the face of the earth. Because let me tell you something. You can talk about slavery and all that stuff. You and I, every one, are slaves. We are all in bondage unless we're in Christ. Every person, I don't care who it is, you are enslaved. You were, I was, all of you were enslaved by the devil. But you heard a trumpet sound. On that day of atonement, you said, thank you, God. Listen, how many of you really believe that God can do that? How many of you really believe that God can take every sin you ever committed, put it on that scapegoat, and not just send it out there in the desert, but push him off over in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered again? He can't remember what you did. But you gotta believe that. Cause the devil don't. He shows up. He shows back up and says, yeah, you did it. Here's where you did it. Here's the day you did it. And you probably still got pictures around the house where you had on your shorts and your long hair. And it's a lie. I don't care if you got physical pictures. It's a lie.
That's right.
Devil, that ain't me no more. That's what you did to me. But when I accept what God did for me, Brother Brown said, God took a picture of you before the foundation of the world. That's the picture I'm depending on. Listen, you can forget, you can put on 10 tons of stuff to make your hair look different. Have all kind of facelifts. We still old. But in God's eyes, we never got past that 18 years old. Because I believe when my soul was redeemed and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that turned me back to a young man. Now that thing inside of me is 18 years old. It's not 60. It's 18 years old. Because I'm born in the image of Him, not in the image of my mom and daddy. That came because of sin, but it came to fulfill the glory of God, because there's no redemption if we didn't come that way. There's no redemption if we came already eternal. We came lost. We came dead. Job says, oh, that I'd have not took a breath. He realized that. I was born in sin, David said, shaping in iniquity. Man had 500 wives. He ought to know what he's talking about. Born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Spouse from my mother's womb, a liar. Doomed and on my way to hell. Not in hell, on my way to hell. But something happened. There was an Exodus day. There was a day that God said, you're getting ready to leave Egypt. The Passover lamb was killed for you 2,000 years ago. All you got to do is accept it. All you got to do is come into my feast of unleavened bread, where you're getting out the lying and the bad temper and all the... Come on, people. You say, I got born again. I know I'm born again because I don't have a temper anymore. That don't mean nothing. I don't mean nothing. Why is that temperance up there for? That's why I'm telling you one more time, and I'm going to shout this again. Sanctification is a good place to be, but it's the worst place to stay. You understand what I'm saying? It's a good place to be, worst place to stay. Because then the devil will come back with his other seven imps, and they'll say, oh, you believe, you press play, don't you? You read quotes. Yeah, but you live like the devil. Remember, your life is 10 times more loud than your trumpet. Day of Atonement. To realize, truly realize that God Almighty in human flesh died for you. You can't get over that. Brother Brown said, you can't forget Calvary. If you're a Christian, there's no way you can forget Calvary. We can talk about seals and plagues and vials and all these different things, but if you forget Calvary, then you're done. To me, the seven seals turns me to Calvary. Shows me what that man did. What he redeemed and how he did it. what we're doing here and where we're going.
Right.
Amen? You love the Lord?
Amen.
All right, let's read. All right, we're finished with that. Let's go to Romans 5. This is the only time in the book, in the New Testament, but it's referring back to the Old Testament. It says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Many people know Jesus died on the cross. A drunk can tell you that. You believe Jesus is the Savior of the world? A prostitute can tell you that. That's why Brother Brown says, talks about some people can't get Christ off the cross. Oh, he died for me 2,000 years ago, and they see him hanging up there. I like the empty one. I like these empty ones. This, even the two thieves, because they went somewhere. But I believe that that thing's empty the same way as a tomb. The tomb is empty. For if we, when we were enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now have now received the atonement. One time. Not every year. But you and I as a Christian should be in a perpetual atonement. Every day should be an atonement for us to realize what God did for us. So let's read a couple of quotes. Let's go to Making a Way, 1956. Then we'll get to the part on Daniel 70 weeks. Making a Way. We find out on the Day of Atonement, God in type foreshadowing what he would do in the antitype when he came, which was Christ. The high priest was commanded to take two goats, little goats, take them in for atonement, an offering, and a bullock for his own family. And many of you readers here and studiers of the Bible know now just how that the atonement was. But then one goat, there had to be a lot cast. A lot fell on one goat, it died. Then the blood of this goat was placed upon the other goat with the hands of the high priest, confessing the sins of the people upon the living goat. And then a man who was worthy. Couldn't be just somebody that walks out there about halfway out in the field and goes, shoe goat. No. Got to take it far away. A man who was worthy, taking the living goat under his arm and went way out into the wilderness where the goat would have to perish and go into an isolated, out-of-the-way place, never no more in that state to come back into the family of his own again, but to be isolated forever, bearing the sins of the people away. Now, I know many scholars perhaps are sitting here, and especially Adventists, they say that one goat was Christ and the other was the devil. Now, brethren, I have to differ a little bit on that. We can't sacrifice to the devil. Okay? Pretty plain. That one sentence proves it all. But watch. Both goats represented Christ. Both of them was Christ. Christ is, or he bled for our sins, and he bore them himself away. Devil can't bear my sins. Christ is our sin bearer. Get it straight, then your faith won't move. Christ is our sin bearer and the sins of the world. Christ was the dying animal on the cross, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now let's get into this real quick, because I want to bring the chart back up when we get finished with this, because this is now, let's switch gears. You and I, this is in the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit. Now what's the sixfold purpose? Is God is going to take this sixfold purpose and redeem who? Israel, not us. Israel. Everybody got that? Say amen. Just a few more minutes. The sixfold purpose. And this is in Zechariah. I was going to read Zechariah, and I come across this quote. I'm going to let the prophet read it to you and let him explain what's going on. Oh, we got to stop here just a minute. Now, look, we've left the earth. Because remember, the Daniel 70 weeks is not to the Gentiles, it's to the Jews. Everybody got that? Say amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right, 70 weeks of Daniel. And to finish the 70 weeks of Daniel, there's got to be a sixfold purpose, because Daniel 70 weeks is not to redeem us. It's to redeem the Jews.
That's right.
Everybody got that? Pretty simple. We're gone. We're already gone. We're already in the glory. We've already heard our gospel trumpet. Six dimensions already come here. We've all had a body change according to Thessalonians and Corinthians. And we have went into another dimension. Away from this world, because this world is fixing to get plagued. They've got the sixth seal coming up. They got the two prophets. They got the seven trumpets, the vials, all these different plagues. I'm telling you again, thank God, the revelation that you and I don't have to go through that. Because most Christian world out there believes we got to go through those. No, we're out of here. Now the foolish virgin, the sinner, and part of the Jews, they got to go through it. Why? For cleansing. You and I have already been, listen, they're pulling their goat back. Everybody understand what I'm saying? See, they, we don't. We got a free goat that just goes to the sea of God's forgiveness. And all they're doing is, yeah, they're fishing in the wrong sea, right? Thank you, Brother Boyd. They're fishing in the sea of God's forgiveness. That's what rumors and all are. But they're wanting to pull him back and go through a tribulation period. No, please, let it go. Our trumpet gives us 100% deliverance. Oh, we got to stop here just a minute. Let's start over to Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Turn with me now to the book of Zechariah, the 12th chapter of Zechariah. Maybe I'm taking a little too much time starting to preach on this, but I hope not. I want you to get it so bad. Zechariah, let's get the 12th chapter of Zechariah and see what it's going to say now when we stand before his brethren, when he stands before his brethren. Now, this is the scene is we've left the two witnesses, and I'm going to tell you a little story about that. And it's really exciting. Brother Claude told me about it last night, and I finally found it. The two witnesses are over there, and they have declared that their Messiah had already been killed. It's not coming. He's not coming. He's already died. All right, so now. Now, he's speaking here of the remnant. The siege of Jerusalem, the beast and the armies is took away and so forth. All things are become to the end now. This is almost to the millennium, fixing to start the millennium right now. All right? Remember the sixfold purpose is redeeming Israel and redeeming the city. So you got three, end of sin, reconciliation for iniquity, and then bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up the vision and prophecy, anoint the most holy. Boy, sometimes I get them all mixed up. But thank God, we're right here toward the end. He's getting ready to what? And I will pour upon, this is the scripture, and I will pour upon the house of David, which is who? Jerusalem. And upon the habitation of Jerusalem, the spirit of what? Grace. Amen. Amazing grace. Upon the house, inhabitants of Jerusalem, Daniel's holy city, remember, is to restore the people and the city. Pay attention, watch. The spirit of grace and of supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now, Jesus is not standing there. But they hear the voice as the sound of a trumpet like John did. They didn't turn to see a bride. They turned to see Christ. They shall look upon me whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one, what? Afflict their soul on the day of atonement. As one mourneth for his only son and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. Listen, what a mourning there'll be, not early mourning, but mourn. What a mourning there will be when he stands there making himself known to them like Joseph did. What? The two prophets. Through the two prophets. And in that day shall there be such great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadadarima in Megiddon. And in the land shall be mourning, every family apart. What did I just say? The day of atonement, the natural day of atonement, you afflict your soul. You separate yourself from your wife. You separate from your children. You separate from your job. You separate from your eating. All right? And in the land shall be mourning, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart and their families apart, the house of Levi, their wives and families apart, and Simeon and theirs apart, all the families that remain, every family and their wives apart. They'll be so ashamed of themselves when they stand there and see that that very one that they crucified in the night, standing there, their own precious Joseph, there'll be such a mourning, they'll say, where did you get those scars? Those two prophets are going to preach so real Jesus Christ. Just like you realize Christ died for you. You didn't see the scars, but you realize they're there. Okay, you didn't physically see Jesus. But through the preaching of the gospel, Christ became so real to us that we accepted him in our heart. We accepted what he did at Calvary. He said, where? In the house of my friends. See what I mean? To make an end of sin, of unbelief, that's what he's coming for. Now, I didn't understand this until Brother Claude made this clear to me. Now, go back to the chart, please, just for a second. We'll be done. Musicians, get ready to come. Okay, we're right here. You and I have took a rapture, we're gone. But the two witnesses come back and they preach what? Christ. Remember I said Christ fulfilled all these, right? But they missed it. The Jews don't believe any of this happened, right? The nominal Jew, the Orthodox Jew, they're looking for their Messiah. They're looking for their Messiah to come. We've already seen it. We've been raptured, so take us out of the picture. But two prophets come on the scene, and literally on this Day of Atonement, listen to what happens. You've got the sounding of trumpets, and then that day is silent all but one time. Once in the morning and once in the evening, there's two special silver trumpets made out of the same material. Sound in the morning and sound in the evening. Two prophets to Israel. Two special silver trumpets. The two witnesses sound on that Day of Atonement. And it tells them what happened, and they go all the way back and said, where did you get those scars? He said, in the house of my friend. This is where they crucified Jesus Christ, right here. The two trumpets, literally, the shofar is sounded shorter. There's a shofar sound shorter, and two special silver trumpets announce the sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah. I about throwed my phone out in the yard when we were talking about that. But there's God. And there's nothing said about trumpets in the Bible, but if you read, look up shofar, S-H-O-F-A-R, and you'll get this very quote right here. When the trumpet sound the signal, all the people who were within the sacrifice prostrate themselves, stretching out flat face down on the ground. Where did you get those scars? And he'll say, in the house of my friends, and they're going to mourn and weep and say, we, just like when they told Joseph, they said, oh, we, remember Joseph's brothers all said, oh man, he's still alive. We thought we killed him. Remember they threw him in the pit, Joseph in the pit. Joseph said, oh, don't worry. It was done to preserve life.
Amen.
You two witnesses come on the scene right here to tell Israel, not that Christ has got to come and die again. But on that Day of Atonement, those two silver trumpets, for 3.5 years, they're going to stand there morning and evening, and they're going to declare the Day of Atonement. And then what's going to happen with 144,000? They're going next. God's going to give them the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then they're going to exit the building just like we did. But two trumpets. Why two? Why two special trumpets that are silver, not gold, because we're gold? Silver trumpets made out of the same material. Moses and Elijah. Because they preached the same message. Oh, thank God. Musicians, come. Day of Atonement. If you're a Christian, you've been through the Day of Atonement. If you haven't, you sure need to. Try it sometime. Have a fast. Fast for a few days. Fast for a day. Fast for 3 days. Do without something that you normally wouldn't do without. And see, and do it for the Lord. Don't do it for everybody around. Don't sound a trumpet. Jesus said, he said, don't sound your trumpet and say, I'm better than that guy over there, I give 20% tithe. Remember Jesus told him, he said, you worse off than that woman that gave all. Right? So let's don't sound our own trumpet. We're not here sounding. If I sound my own trumpet, you don't listen to it. But if God sounds that trumpet and he gives a certain sound, we know what's coming. We know how to fight. We know the battle is going this way, charging this direction. We are going to win this battle. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to win this thing. I promise you. It's spoken in the Word of God. Our sins, listen, our sins not what's going to keep us here. They're done away with. It's our unbelief of right here. Because if you're born again in your soul, you can't sin. But we sin in our body and we sin in our spirit. Let's sing a song. Flowing out from me, made the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open prison doors, set the captive free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, excuse me, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Sing it again. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out from me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. It opens prison doors, sets a captive free. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well, within my soul. Spring up, oh well, and make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that life abundantly. Let's remember as we go, take the word of the Lord with you. Be back at 1 o'clock. Well, Brother Luis, it'll be a regular service. Start at 1 o'clock. So God bless you. Love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for being here today. And let's make sure we keep our mask on when we go outside. Keep our social distancing and have a bite to eat. But think about it. Take a day. Afflict your soul. Just say, God, I give you this day. Lord, we give the devil a whole lot of days. We give him a whole lot of hours, right? Let's give God a time. Let's just see how your Christian life is. Just give up something, you know. Catholics can do it. They do Lent, you know. They give up. That's always bothers me, you know. I love mashed potatoes, but I hate asparagus. Well, I'll just give up asparagus for 45 days. That ain't much of a sacrifice. But giving up the things you love for a little while. But listen, when you read your Bible, and when you read the prophet's message, I know we're happy and I know we're just joyful as can be, but something down inside of me says, thank you, Lord, that I can read that with understanding and that you sent me a prophet so I can understand it better and understand more about the God that wrote it. God bless you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the time we have here, Lord. We pray that you just be with us now as we go eat a bite. Come back to service at 1 o'clock, Lord. Anoint the song leader and, Lord, anoint the preacher this afternoon, Lord, to give us the words of eternal life, Father. Maybe ones that are sick, ones that are afflicted, Father, we pray that you just touch them, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Oh, there's a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, oh well.